We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. The rise, fall, and comeback of former governor of New Jersey resigning amidst scandal, announcing he was a gay American, the fall to grace of James McGreevy, an American redemption story. Today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell, James McGreevy served as governor of the state of New Jersey from 2002 until resigning in 2004 after appointing his secret male lover as Homeland Security Advisor despite an apparent lack of qualifications for the positions. Threat of sexual harassment suits prompted the governor to resign. He was the first openly gay governor in the U.S. history. Go on to obtain his Master's of Divinity with the goal of becoming an Episcopal minister. He volunteered service through Exodus Transitional Community for former prisoners seeking rehabilitation. And in July of 2013, appointed head of Jersey City's Employment and Training Program. His book is The Confession, and the HBO documentary on his story is Fall to Grace, produced by Alexandra Pelosi. Welcome, Governor. How are you?
Jim, it's so good to be with you.
It's our honor, and we've had to, we've sort of developed a niche somehow on comeback shows. We had the first interview with Elliot Spitzer after he resigned, second interview after 60 Minutes with Dennis Kozlowski in the Enron scandal. We had a woman from the Raj Rajarat and largest insider trading scandal, Paula Broadwell, portray us, and some of the Madoff family members that were innocent. So these fall and comeback shows are kind of a specialty, and we really enjoy them, and we're honored to have you.
Jim, thank you very much. You're very kind.
With that preamble, I want to ask you this question because I've always wondered it. When you announced your resignation, you said, "I am a gay American." Why did you say with that phraseology, "American," as opposed to just "gay"?
Because I grew up in a household with a father who was a Marine Corps drill instructor, and part of it was understanding that we're blessed to live in this great nation with all its flaws. But still, I believe the greatest nation in the world with its civil liberties and tradition for individual opportunity. And so I also wanted to recognize that not only who I am, but my Americanness, my nationality, my identification is an intrinsic part of who and what I am.
You seem to show a lot of grace during the event. Was the inside stress just unbelievable?
It was tremendous, but at Jim, there was also sort of a point of reckoning, and there's a point of self-acceptance after all these years, and so that's also what's so powerful. I mean, the whole notion of authenticity, to be who we were meant to be, and I think that's, blessedly, if I had, as a young boy growing up in Jersey City in Carteret, New Jersey, would have thought that there was an African-American president or that there were gay candidates or whomever. It's just that whoever our background is, whatever our ethnicity, whatever our race, whatever our gender or sexual orientation is, that people should have the ability to excel on the merits. And I think that's uniquely an American narrative.
Let me ask you this. 2016 now, so we're at a different, more mature state in this country. But in retrospect, or even at any time, did you think that you should have stayed or you could have stayed? I know it's interesting in Greenwich here, we have a selectmen, board of selectmen approach. to our leadership, and one of the members is gay, and I didn't even know about it. It's a complete non-issue here.
You know, it's so funny. Jim, I was down at the University of Pennsylvania some time ago talking to students, and there was LGBT students, and it was almost like talking to the young Republicans or the young Democrats or, you know, whatever ethnic organization. We were talking about education and transportation infrastructure and incentives for green energy and the economy and high technology. And it's almost as if, you know, the issue was a distant sidebar. And I thought to myself laughingly on the way home, my God, how far we've traveled as a country.
Would you have stayed on in this environment, or you just think the scandal nature would have forced you out either way?
Well, you know, it's hard to look at things retrospectively and say what if. So, I mean, it was, as you know, we say in the rooms in AA, on God's time, and it was, I think, the appropriate decision at the time. I think not only for my sake and the sake of my family, but perhaps as importantly, or even more importantly, for the sake of the state. You know, people just needed to move on to do the serious business of administering a state and grappling with those, you know, sort of day-to-day and long-term challenges. So I think it was the right decision.
In reading your book, it just really comes across of what a swamp New Jersey is, or what was then, and I don't know if it still is, of compromise, pay-to-play, corruption.
Jimmy, I don't know whether New Jersey is markedly different from any other place in America. And I love New Jersey. I'm New Jersey bullish. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandparents came from Ireland to Jersey City. And now I have the pleasure of working, you know, five blocks from where I was baptized and where my parents were married. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, I mean, New Jersey perhaps has more colorful figures. You think of Louisiana. Think of Illinois.
New York.
The democratic process, for all of its flaws and faults and all of its strengths, is remarkably the same. And it's a series of compromise. And sort of human beings, God willing, will do the right thing for the right reasons, but all too frequently people get tempted, particularly on the money side. But that's why, you know, you're blessed with an attorney general's office and a U.S. attorney's office, hopefully to make sure that people do what's right.
You were a young change agent, obviously. Was your value system, were you internally stressed all the time because of all the compromises you had to make? And talk a little bit about what you describe as sort of the ego needs that sort of were almost addictive for the power.
Well, you know, that is so true. I mean, the narcissism in politics today, I mean, with its, you know, the Republican National Convention, or I assume to a degree in the Democratic National Convention. I mean, as somebody once joked that, you know, politics is show business for ugly people, that the drive, the narcissistic drive is there. And it's difficult, right? Because this is a very different generation. This is a very different era and sort of in the instant communications. But you think of, you know, you go back in time to the letters between, you know, Adams and Jefferson, and the fact it took 3 or 4 days to travel a letter and a letter was composed. And today things are instantly tweeted and physical appearance. And it's just become so much more of the persona as opposed to the character.
Interesting, because Trump has to be the biggest narcissist maybe in political history.
Well, I'm out of politics now, so I won't comment.
You're not going to touch. You're not going to touch. I'm not going to get you to touch that one.
Well, I mean, you just, like, you know, it's believe me, but I don't think narcissism is limited to any one person on any side of the aisle. And so it's just and let me just talk about myself. I mean, that need for acclaim. I mean, perhaps it was wrapped up in my sexual orientation and my denial. But be that as it may, even accept it in a part, I mean, there's still that need. And then it's also the need for self-survival, the need to get reelected. And everything that means, particularly in terms of money, in terms of influence, in terms of power. That becomes the primary driving force.
You talk about one of the things you're most proud of was ending pay-to-play in New Jersey as really one of your last acts when you had no political worries. Has that been successful? Here we are 12 years later.
Yeah, it's been significantly successful, sort of ending sort of the sort of the internecine world of corrosive money and politics. But, you know, it's just, you know, money always finds its way into the political process, which is so disconcerting. I mean, like, every generation does the reform. But inevitably, I mean, today on the national level, it's super PACs. So that, you know, that people are donating to super PACs who would not otherwise donate or aren't donating in a fund that's open, that's transparent, and readily visible by the public.
Just 20 seconds. Do you miss the power?
No, I'm in a different place, Jim. I mean, I love what I do. I work in prison ministry. I work with people that are, you know, whether it's murder, whether it's drug addiction, whether it's distribution, whether it's assault. You know, people who frankly came from a very start of the, as I say, the race of life from a markedly different place than I did, but who want the same thing. I mean, when I was in seminary, I went up to Exodus Transitional Ministry, and the dean, the priest who ran the seminary, said, I want you to go up there and work with these folks. You know, I'm sitting there shoulder to shoulder every day with people that spent 18, 20, 25 years. And, Jim, they want the same thing that I did. They wanted a place to put their head on a pillow at night. They wanted some food in their stomach. They wanted a better life for their children. And they wanted the dignity of work. And so I love what I do now. And hopefully we can talk about that a little bit more.
Yes. The Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the BizTalk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. And with apologies to HBO, we are going to talk about the fall to grace next segment.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Hey, Bob, how's business? Is the new website helping?
Not good. I can't figure out how to get the website finished. How did you do it?
Easy. I called Web.com. They built my website for free. Then they promoted it on all the search engines.
Like Google, Yahoo, and Bing?
Exactly. And Web.com has helped grow my business so much, I had to bring on new staff.
Call now. 1-800-535-9652. That's 1-800-535-9652.
There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're talking with the former New Jersey governor, James McGreevy. Redemption in this segment. I've always wanted to say this word because I've never known how to pronounce it. But you, from Drumthacket to Denny's, you talk about Drumthacket being, of course, the governor's mansion there. The sheer steepness of that fall is unbelievable. Talk a little bit about that recovery process. You went out to the meadows.
It's a pretty steep fall. Not something that I would recommend for anyone. No, but it's just, Jim, you have all the nonsense, the helicopters, the cars. I was blessed with the state police and New Jersey State Police. I think is the finest, the finest state policing unit in the country. And then, you have all the fundraisers and the whirlwind, and then all of a sudden, nothing. And that blessed peace, and then you grapple with what that peace means. And so a dear friend of mine said to me, as my grandmother would say, God works in mysterious ways. If you could do anything with your life, what would it be? And so I had always wanted to go to seminary. In fact, when I was a young man, I thought about becoming a Jesuit priest, and I had actually enrolled, and at the last second decided not to. And so I went to seminary for 3 years, and it was transformational. I mean, not only in terms of the value structure, but the rituals of the daily mass, getting up and understanding that life isn't about self, it's about service, being grateful for the gifts of this day, the sun, earth, breath, etc., and realizing that the world isn't whipping around me. And it's gradual, right? It doesn't happen overnight, but it sort of like seeps into your bones gradually. And so that transformation was so healthy, not only spiritually, but psychologically. And going to seminary every single day and reading the Hebrew Bible, I mean, reading the Quran, reading the Christian Bible, the great thinkers from Augustine to Chardin. And so that was an interesting process of Maimonides. And I read everything, the Bhagavad Gita. I read everything I could get my hands on. And so part of it is, I read this fellow in the psychology of religion class called Joseph Campbell. And I don't know if you ever read Campbell, but The Power of Myth, The Hero. And Campbell posits that we're all the hero. Each and every one of us in our lives is a hero. We're born, we travel from that birth canal, we're exposed to the world, we begin to grow up as toddlers, as young children, we eventually go off from school, leave home. And Campbell has a great phrase, where you trip, that's where your treasure lies. And so Campbell's whole point is that you have to be open to the experiences of life, draw wisdom from that, but then give it back. And so the dean of the seminary, a great fellow, Father Ward Ewing, told me to go up to Exodus Transitional Ministry in Harlem. And here I was working with people who had been in Sing Sing and state prison and federal prison, largely state prisons, for 15, 20 years. And Jim, I mean, women that were sexually abused, victims of domestic violence, young men that had grown up in horrific circumstances, that joined gangs that joined gangs to survive. That's the Jersey City Ferry you hear in the background. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the point is that, you know, these people want it. And so the sad thing in America is we're 5% of the world's population, but we're 25% of the world's incarcerated population. We lock up more people in America than any country in the world. And the second is Russia. And so the sad thing is today we have more African-American males locked up than South Africa had black South Africans at the height of apartheid.
Jeez.
As a percentage of the population. And so if you were to go back, if you and I were to kick back and to say, if I wanted to correct somebody's behavior, how would I do it? Well, what you would do is you would put people into healthy places, you know, godly places, places that reflected the good values. And what we do in America is we put people in the most maladaptive, malevolent places, namely state penitentiaries. And so what happens in state penitentiaries all across America, and 70% of the people behind bars are addicts, is that you have access to drugs, you have violence, you have, you know, sexual violence. And the crazy thing is between wardens and gangs and the confluence of drugs, you have some of the most disturbed places. And so you take a 17 or 19-year-old who's been convicted of CDS distribution, which is a serious charge, and you put them in prison for 3 years, you're damning them to learning worse behaviors, to replicating, if you will, the worst traits in human beings. I mean, you want to destroy trust, honesty, integrity. There's not a better way to do it. And so our system, our prison system, you know, as a construct, is inherently flawed. And it's got a two-thirds failure rate. I mean, 67-68%, you look at the national indicators, people are back within 3 years, or people commit a felony with 3 years.
You know, so I was going to say, the documentary really, really shows your personal connection with these folks, and you can almost feel their self-esteem growing right in front of you. Have you found that the folks you've worked with have stayed out so that you can actually demonstrate that this works, like Norway or wherever else it's much more rehabilitative?
Yeah. I mean, Jim, our recidivism rate is 19.2%.
There you go.
I mean, you compare that to the national average, and our numbers are documented by the United States Department of Department of Justice, the Second Chance Program, and DOJ does a great job. I mean, they provide needed monies. George Bush, 43, President Obama, I mean, provided monies for the Second Chance Program. It can be done, but you have to provide structured, sober housing. You have to continue to provide addiction treatment. If somebody's an addict and they haven't received any treatment and they walk out that door, they're going to go back to the corner to run and gun and dope. And so you need treatment. You need structured, sober housing. You need training programs that enable people to have a job, as well as, you know, identification and linking people to healthcare. And it's gritty, and you have to roll up your sleeves, Jim, but it's so much less expensive than the cost of a cell, than the cost of incarceration. And more to the point is, people transform their lives.
Is it like breaking an addiction almost to go from narcissism to humility?
Well, I think it's what I would call it. I would call it a healthy spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sort of, you know, and we're all on that journey. Well, I know I am, but and I think many of us are on that journey to find a healthy set of values. And it's tough because today, I mean, we've become unmoored from those traditional values. And in that sense, obviously, in terms of LGBTQ rights, that, I mean, that's a very good, healthy development. But there's also something crass about today's values in terms of the commercialism and the need for, as I would argue, the need for service, the need to service to the nation, to the community, to family.
As we get down here to the end, it's very inspirational. You really do believe in second acts, and you can literally begin your life anew?
Yeah, you know, second acts, third acts. I mean, what Jesus said, you know, don't forgive 70 times 7. So, I mean, it's just, and it's whatever, you know, whatever spiritual tradition or, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a theology or have to be God-centered, but sort of finding, as Lincoln said, you know, our better angels.
We've been talking with Jim McGreevy, the former governor of New Jersey, and a great story of redemption and the service now that emanates from his heart every single day. Thank you, Governor. Really appreciate your time.
Jim, thank you so much for your time.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031 because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. website. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
BizTalkRadio.com.
A poster child for the Enron, WorldCom, Tyco era of corporate greed and fraud, or the victim of prosecutors run amok. The infamous $6,000 shower curtain, the $2 million birthday party with the ice statue of Michelangelo urinating vodka, the tragic fall of Tyco CEO Dennis Kozlowski. Was it prosecutorial abuse that led to the railroading of a legendary CEO? In his only broadcast interview since release from prison, setting history straight, a Biz Talk exclusive today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Dennis Kozlowski was a 27-year veteran of Tyco, the last 10 years serving as CEO, building one of the most successful growth machines in the history of corporate America, thousands of acquisitions until the downfall and a prison sentence of unprecedented length, serving more time than murderers. This interview is based in part on a book by Northern Kentucky University's College of Business Ethics Professor Catherine Neal, the book Taking Down the Lion, The Triumphant Rise and Tragic Fall of Tyco's Dennis Kozlowski. We're honored to have you. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Nice to be here this morning.
Okay. It's good to put this whole experience in perspective, because the whole corporate lynching era from then, we're beyond that. Again, an incredible record. You started at $20 million in revenues, built it to $40 billion, 40 quarters of increased profits, and that's 10 years, and you served 10 years. So that's a pretty consistent record. And yet the legacy obscured by the shower curtain and other things. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel good about my 27 years at Tyco and the record we put together for our shareholders and the amount of growth we had there during that time. And I feel that I put the era of my prosecution and what I went through in back of me now. That was some time ago, and I'm off to a new start. Doing other things and moving on from where I was. So I'm into the next chapter of my life and well into it.
Okay, we're going to get to that. Let's talk about those two things quickly that obscured the legacy and the myth around them. The $6,000 shower curtain, explain it a little bit. You never even saw it.
No, I never saw that. That was a decorator who installed a shower curtain, from what I understood. And I only got to understand that at the time that I was indicted by the Manhattan DA, so never saw it. No, would know it if it fell on me.
Now, that place was $18 million plus $10 million of renovations, for which you were planning to use for a couple of days a month, right? Why? Why would you need that?
Well, Jim, we're going back to something a very long time ago, and as I said, I really moved on from that era of my life. But we were doing a lot of deals in New York at the time. And we couldn't be seen in public. The internet was starting. If other CEOs or people who had investment opportunities were coming in to visit me, you'd be reading about it on the internet. That was affecting our stock prices, and that was affecting our ability to do deals. So we wanted a place where we could hide away, that it was Manhattan real estate, it was going to appreciate. That ultimately really wouldn't cost us anything through appreciation, and we did a number of deals in that apartment, so it was really,
it's more than paid for the apartment.
Yeah, it was really a corporate headquarter of sorts where we did it. And I think at the end of the day, after I left Tyco, the apartment was sold for more money than was into it.
And I will say that the first problem arose because of the paintings that were installed. Sales tax wasn't paid, and you were kind of held accountable for that. But normally the seller is, not the buyer. So it seemed to be almost a superfluous, unfair attack.
Sure. Well, and those charges were later dismissed against me.
Exactly.
So.
On the birthday party, the only question there is it's sort of blurring of personal and corporate. You actually paid for all the personal.
That's part, correct.
But
yeah,
again,
right.
in retrospect, A, you didn't know that it was going to be that sort of off the wall, right? The theme and all that.
Well, yeah, the theme. Well, the DA managed to pick a couple segments from, you know, from a get together and play it up. There were children at the party. There were directors of mine at the party. It was no big deal. It was a couple hour event in the middle of, you know, other things going on, and all expenses associated with that were personally paid for by me.
Okay. You were accused of basically stealing $170 million from Tyco through undocumented secret loans, et cetera. The sentence ended up, you were in prison, I think, for over 100 months. The average homicide is 52 months. They tried to charge you under a RICO, which is, you know, criminal enterprise, mafia, and they, I guess all 80 of those charges were shut out. You were tried by the state, not the federal. All this was documented, though, by Price Waterhouse and your board.
Well, the bonuses were all on the books and records of the company. Yes, yes, and the bonuses were all audited, you know, by, you know, by outside auditors. So all that was there. I was accused and convicted of not having the bonuses appropriately approved by directors. So,
which is why they call that stealing your own bonuses.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Your assets were frozen for 11 years?
They were, yes. That's one of the things I think most people don't know, that the DA has enormous amounts of power. They can freeze your assets and make it extremely difficult for you to function when you are indicted. So your ability to hire legal counsel, to pay your bills, to function as, you know, as a normal person is rapidly taken away well before you're convicted. So you're not convicted at anything at that time, and yet you know, your assets are suddenly frozen. Checks you wrote to the electric company and to the fuel company, to wherever, begin to bounce as soon as they freeze your assets. And this is done well before anybody's convicted, before you show up in court, you know, before you do anything. So there's an awful lot of prosecutorial power that really handicaps somebody in their ability to defend themselves.
When you're supposed to be presumed innocent at that time. Looking back, do you feel that you were railroaded? Do you feel remorseful?
Jim, I think this whole incident is best told by a third party. And that third party in this case is Professor Catherine Neal from Northern Kentucky University, who I did not know before all this happened, who was teaching ethics courses at her university. She was trying to figure out what went on at Tyco. She took a sabbatical to research it. She interviewed the DA, she interviewed jurors, she interviewed employees of the company, and she came to her own conclusions. And her conclusions were, which I agree with, her conclusions were nothing criminal, you know, went on. Sure, there was some bad judgment, but this was the 90s, too,
yeah,
you know, that we were talking about. You know, our growth was spectacular, and there was some bad judgment, but Professor Neal, I think, really came to the right conclusions, and it's well documented in her book.
Very well documented. And also, I asked her point blank. She said that told her to pursue the truth 100% wherever it led.
Yes, I had no influence whatsoever.
No influence
wherever she was going.
All right, let's talk about some of the factors now in our remaining couple of minutes. Timing. You were long done with Enron and all that, but those companies all went belly up.
That's
and
correct.
Tyco was a profitable, hugely successful entity at the same time. So bad luck, or
Tyco thrived to this day. I have not been able to track, you know, what others have done with Tyco well after I left it, but it was wildly successful and continues to be wildly, you know, successful today. It's broken up into a number of other companies, but it's done extremely well.
Now, what about sometimes, you know, successes and downfall can be the same traits, right? You were very successful motivating your folks by a decentralized philosophy, by profit incentives, et cetera. but you weren't in touch with a lot of the stuff, a lot of the things we just talked about, right? You didn't really know were going on, the curtain and all that stuff. So was it kind of, you know, some of your downfall brought about by the qualities made you successful?
Sure. We had a very small corporate staff. We believed in finding the best people we can around the world to run our businesses and keeping our corporate staff very small and non-bureaucratic. So we had 260,000 people worldwide running businesses in over 60 different countries. There's no way one person's going to have a handle with that kind of growth. You really have to delegate and really have to decentralize and find entrepreneurial types, you know, to run the businesses. So you know, a lot of the details were not known by people back at headquarters.
You listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Business Talk Radio Network, over 300 stations around the country. You can go to biztalkradio.com and find the nearest station to you to listen over the internet, access our archives of podcasts. Coming next, the rise of Dennis Kozlowski.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back with Dennis Kozlowski, the deposed lion of Tyco. You went to what you call a gated community in a mid-state correctional facility, and you became the laundry czar.
I did.
Tell us about prison.
The laundry job I quickly recognized was probably the best job in prison. It kept me out of my cell.
So you're always a good business guy.
About 8 hours a day. Yeah, it paid 85 cents a day, so it was probably one of the higher paying jobs there. But I was able to do laundry, pick up, deliver laundry, and read books within the laundry room while the washing machines and dryers were doing their work. So I raised my hand for that job and ultimately wound up doing it.
How did you survive over 100 months when you saw kidnappers, rapists, murders going in and out?
Reading. I did it through two things. I read every biography, fiction, nonfiction book I could get my hands on or sent in to me. And I had wonderful support from family, from friends. And
Dennis's wife, Kimberly, is sitting right
from
here.
Kimberly, yes.
And by the way, she's very supportive. You can't see. She's nodding on all throughout this. We're laughing a little bit about that, but what were the worst moments?
I think the worst moments are the holidays, having Thanksgivings and Christmas and that time in jail. The worst moments were when my daughters got married, my grandchildren were born, not being there for those events. Things that center around family times or my daughter suffered a significant injury while traveling in Bali, a life-threatening injury, and I wasn't able to reach out or contact her. I was communicating through Kimberly, to my daughter. There are some pretty horrific moments, while there.
You gave a building to Seton Hall where you went, and they took your name off of it. How does that hurt?
Well, no, I asked them to take my name off it, Jim. Yeah, yeah.
But you didn't ask for your money back, probably.
No, I didn't. I think. Why stir up controversy or why put the administration in a position that they have something that they would have a tough time defending?
How did your health hold up through all this?
My health was generally pretty good. I did have one incident where I had a heart issue, but I came out of it fine. But it's no place to be if you're sick or have a health issue.
Probably not a very healthy meal.
No, the food was horrible.
Now, on the finance side, you paid We talked, your assets were frozen for 11 years. You paid $167 million in fines. How did you survive financially?
I had to sell off my assets and pay the fines and pay the restitution. So I sold my homes. I sold what I had and satisfied all the debts.
And you're making money now?
I'm back working now. Yes, I'm doing merger and acquisition work, some business consulting work. I have some wonderful clients, and I'm back in the swing of things.
You're not going to go buy a bunch of companies?
No, not personally.
No, Tyco Jr.?
Yeah, no.
Let's talk a little bit about reform items, PRISM and then governance. You sat in there. Do you have ideas for a prison reform, or there's a lot of waste going on, right, of talent, and folks go back out on the street with nothing?
Yeah, prison reform should be high on everybody's agenda because it's such a drain on society. Yeah. I'm involved in the Fortune organization, which helps people coming out of jail to get back on their feet, providing housing, job training, and ultimately jobs. And that's really what needs to be done. People need a place to live as they're going through a transition until they can become taxpayers themselves. And we do a lot of that at Fortune. We helped, I think, 7,000 or 8,000 people last year alone.
Now, you were obviously successful as a laundry czar and all you did. You were turned down for parole, though, the first time.
I was, yes. I was turned down for work release.
What was that based on?
I certainly met all the requirements.
On corporate governance, do you have ideas there? And you actually were innovative in appointing a lead director long before that was popular. Do you think the chairman and CEO roles should be split? How would you define independence?
Sure. I do not think the chairman and CEO role should be split. I believe that anytime I've seen that role split, I've seen dysfunction at the top.
Hewlett-Packard.
That's a good example.
It's the best example.
Yeah, a good example. But I do like the idea of lead director, where directors can put things on an agenda through somebody other than the CEO.
Now, it's clearly you did nothing of a criminal nature, as we've been talking about, and the company was highly successful. The stock price was successful until you hit to the 2001 crisis, 9/11, and internet. Financial crisis of 08. Criminal behavior everywhere, if you ask me. Selling fraudulent, CD crap junk, right, which they knew was going in there. No one has gone to jail for 08.
Yeah, that's... That says it all, right? I mean, it was a different time in 2001, 2002, after Enron and WorldCom. And then you get to 2008, and it's even worse than that because failed companies were borrowing money from the government to pay big bonuses to people who made the decisions that failed the companies. That's what really blows my mind.
A lot of Americans lost 40% of their 401ks. So.
That's correct. Yes.
Now, you were a workaholic. Where you are now, what are the lessons you feel you learned, and who are you now?
Yeah. Well,
how do you change?
Yeah. The growth that we pushed at the time was unnecessary. We could have grown the company at 30 or 40% of the rate that we were growing it at and had a wildly successful company and a lifestyle. I had no balance back then. My whole life was all about the company, and that was a huge mistake and a big lesson learned. And I think any enterprise to be successful needs the right amount of balance. You can't have a CEO who's just pushing it all of the time and expecting everybody around him to be to be pushing at the same rate. I think that was my biggest takeaway here. I pushed too hard, too fast, too long.
All right. Thanks to Dennis Kozlowski. That was a hugely fast hour, and really appreciate him coming by because he's keeping a low profile. He's not doing interviews, so it really means a lot that you've done this, and to see you doing so well after being railroaded for so long is a good thing, obviously. Thanks to Catherine Neal again for the book, Taking Down the Lion, The Triumphant Rise and the Tragic Fall of Tyco's Dennis Kozlowski, and if you read it in detail, you're going to have a hard time wondering what the heck he was charged with. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Stay with us as we go into overtime now. Thanks to Dennis Kozlowski. Thanks to our national audience for listening, and we'll see you next Sunday on Business Talk. with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.